of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now,
and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Good morning, church. Turn to someone by your right and your left and say good morning. Say welcome to church. Say I'm happy to see you. God bless you. Amen. Good morning. I want to start out this morning by thanking our lead steward, Pastor David Ogenerobo, for the privilege to stand before the people of God to bring forth God's word this morning. I don't take it for granted. And I also want to thank Pastor Faith Ogenerobo also for this privilege, and our other pastors and ministers here in this branch. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go right into it. So what's the title of today's teaching? Can I hear you? People on this side, please. Okay, that's good. We're together. So we're looking at fortress, building a solid prayer life. And Father, even as we go into your word this morning, we pray there is understanding for every one of us here in Jesus' name. We pray, oh Lord God, that we would live here better and stronger in Jesus' name. And we pray that from this service, our prayer lives are strengthened in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want you to, you know, keep your eyes on Jesus even as you look at God's word today. Remember, when Jesus spoke of the parable of the sower, it was those who received the word with sincerity of heart that bore fruits. So even as God's word comes this morning, I'm just a vessel. Let's take what God has for us and go ahead and apply it. So fortress, building a solid prayer life. And the definition I have here is quite close. It says a fortress is a large, strong building. So let's take note of those words. It is a large, strong building or groups of buildings built to defend from attack. It is a large, strong building or groups of building set up to defend from attacks. Hallelujah. I'll take it again. A fortress is a large, strong building or groups of buildings built to defend from attack. It has the capacity to withstand external forces. Those words, they're large, strong. They are very key to what a fortress is. It's not just any building. It's not just any structure. It is large and it is strong enough to withstand attacks. That's why it is built. It is built intentionally to withstand attacks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It can be a safe place. Just like Sister Wando said, it is where people run into for safety. It can be a safe place. Usually, it is a secure spot to hide or stay protected during danger. It is a place of defense or security. If you know the medieval times, if you read through the Bible or you watched all these old movies, all these war movies, you would see that they had ancient fortresses that were high. And they were strategic structures that were built on rocks to withstand enemy sieges. So now let's take, for example, the wall of Jericho. How many of us know the wall of Jericho? That's the wall that we sing about. The wall of Jericho fell down flat. I don't know if you are people like me, but growing up, when we usually sang the walls of Jericho fell down flat, I didn't really think it was anything significant. I just thought it was like just normal walls that we have around our apartments here, just maybe two blocks, and then they'll just mount up. But no, because according to the Bible, Rahab lived within the walls of Jericho. So imagine how thick and strong the walls were. When you have that picture, it will help you appreciate the power of God more, because it was not just this normal apartment walls that were broken down. It was a fortress, and it was built that way so that they were protected against the attacks of other countries, of other cities. But then the God of Abraham passed them. Hallelujah. 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 So that's an example of a fortress. A fortress is something that is built with intentionality. There's another word that, you know, is similar to a fortress, but it's not the same thing, and it's refuge. Right? A refuge is a safe place. It's somewhere that you go into for hiding. Maybe when there's an attack, you go into hiding. Anywhere can be a refuge. Any safe place can be a refuge, but not anywhere can be a fortress. A fortress takes intentionality, and it is built to ensure that there's capacity to withstand attacks from the outside. Are we together? Do you understand me so far? Yes. So I have written here that it is an active, well-supplied stronghold equipped to withstand major attacks. A fortress is intentional. It is not built by chance. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. So I read from here. Please follow me. It says here that if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So now let's explain it in context to what we are explaining here, a fortress. A fortress is something that is built with intentionality, right? So if on the day of attack, you faint, and, you know, maybe you break down, you are overpowered, you are overcome, it shows that you did not have something solid standing. Do we get? We don't have something solid standing. It says that if you faint in the day of adversity, it shows that your strength is small. So that means if your strength is strong, or if your fortress is strong, if the structure that you have built around yourself is strong, definitely, during the day of adversity, you will not faint. You will not be overpowered. You will not be overwhelmed, right? Right? Exactly. So that's the thing about fortress. It's not on the day of adversity, you now say, oh, let me see. Let me get weapons. This is what I used to fight the enemy when they come. No, you don't prepare for battle on the day of battle. You prepare for battle way before the battle comes. Hallelujah. So you see the city of Jerusalem. Of Jericho. It was built that way. That's how the walls were, to withstand attacks from outside. But then they encountered the wrong enemy. They encountered God, so there was no way, no show for them. Right? But it should be strong, solid. Hallelujah. So now, where am I going with all this fortress I've been saying? Your prayer life is a fortress. Glory to God. Your prayer life is a fortress. As a Christian, if you don't have a solid prayer life, you've opened yourself to a lot of attacks. You've made yourself vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy if you don't have a prayer life. And I just want us to take the word of God here to us this morning. Because I know some of us, maybe because of our different backgrounds, we've been made to see prayer as something that is burdensome, is hard. But you're doing yourself a great disservice if you're not praying. You're doing yourself a great disservice if you're not building a prayer life. Because attacks will come, challenges will come, but how will they meet you is the question. They will come, but how would they meet you? You know, there's this analogy pastor always gives when he talks about, you know, the disciples, the three, and Jesus. When Jesus went to pray in the garden, you know, at different points in time, Jesus would pray. He would tell them to watch with him. But by the time he came back, he would see that they had dozed off again. And there's something our lead steward usually says, that what if they had joined Jesus to pray? There may have been a great chance that Peter would have not fallen for the temptation to deny Jesus three times. But we'll just be what if in till we get to heaven. Pray. Jesus says in Luke 18 verse 1 that men ought to always pray and not faint. If Jesus is giving that advice to us, then we must know that it is serious. It is more serious than we can imagine. You may have come from a family where it seems like there are strong patterns. The ladies never amount to anything. They always give birth outside wedlock. With prayer and faith in Christ, you can be the difference in that family. That's what a fortress does. Oh, yeah, maybe they say your ancestors did this, they did that and everything. But when you show up with that prayer life, garrisoned in Christ, it withstands any attack. A great man of God used to say something that, pray now so that you play in the future. Obviously, not like what we get. Because if you don't pray now, you will still see something that will make you pray in the future. But you may have been late by then. And it won't be late for us in Jesus' name. That's why God has come to remind us, remind myself, and remind you this morning to take your prayer life seriously. As a believer, your prayer life ought to be a fortress. As a believer, you shouldn't have a weak prayer life. I know the world we are in now, it seems like, I don't know, I was thinking during the week, and I was just wondering how now the world makes it very comfortable for Christians to live cold lives. There's the place of understanding and embracing the grace of God. But if you're not careful, you know, if maybe you wake up today, you did not pray, and just tell you, don't be too hard on yourself. Be easy. Give yourself grace. If you don't go to church tomorrow, don't be hard. God understands. You can go next tomorrow. So it's like we're watering down the things that God places priority on. But this is a reminder for us today. Take your prayer life seriously. It is a fortress. With it, you are safe and secure. It's a gift that God has given us. And we also have the assurance that when we pray, God hears us. So it's a win-win for us. So it's not like we're praying and then we're thinking, did God hear this one? Let me try again. Maybe we hear this one. Mm-mm. He hears when we pray. Glory! 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 Hallelujah. So we've looked at what a fortress is, and we've established that our prayer life is a fortress. Hallelujah. And like I mentioned before, a fortress must have been ready and built long before the day of danger. It must have been ready and built long before the day of danger. Any attack on your prayer fortress is an attack on your life. Any attack on your prayer fortress is an attack on your life. So just the way the armies would build fortresses to protect themselves from the attack of the enemy, the goal in the end is to protect their lives now, right? Protect the lives of the people in the city and protect the city. That's the same way when you build your prayer fortress, you're protecting your life. You're protecting your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your prayer life is a fortress that should already exist and keep you prepared against the day of battle. It is a fortress that should already exist. Don't wait till you have a need to pray. Already build it. Don't wait till the day of battle to be prepared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get more response. Hallelujah. So that I'm sure that, you know, we are following. Hallelujah. Many Christians today don't have a fortress. And it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be that way. So when you're leaving today's service, that this is one of the things I want you to live with. Live with that consciousness that I will build my prayer fortress. I will build my prayer life. Because it is important. It is important. Like our lead steward will say, let it be that in the future, what is waiting for you is answered prayers. Not unsolved battles. Not unsolved battles. Answered prayers. And the fact that it's not easy does not mean that it is not doable. That's why we have the Spirit of God to help us. Even in the physical view, even when they are building simple structures, you see how the bricklayers are laboring and sweating. So it will stretch you, but it will stretch you to your profiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's move on. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. So I've mentioned here that your prayer life is a fortress that should already exist and keep you prepared against the day of battle. So you see, when we say prayer life is actually real. It's a real thing. Prayer life is actually real. It's not being made up. And the truth is, prayer is your life. Are we in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17? Let me open up here. Okay, thank you. Let's read together. What does it say? One more time. Let's read it. Without ceasing. I know that almost everybody knows this scripture. But how many of us actually live according to this scripture? If the Bible says pray without ceasing, that means it is possible to pray without ceasing, right? And it's also possible to cease from prayers, which is the opposite of what God's word is instructing us to do. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The Amplified Version says, be unceasing and persistent in prayers. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. The easy to read version says, never stop praying. Never stop. When I was growing up, I had this group of friends that we used to pray together. And there's this thing we used to nudge ourselves to do. SALP. Say a little prayer. So even after you've done your personal devotion and everything, everywhere you're going, as you're walking, as you're reading, as you're doing the dishes, you're praying in tongues. You're saying a little prayer. You're praying. That's how it should be. That's another way of, you know, ensuring that you're on fire. You are praying always. It would even save you from these vices of gossiping or worldly slander and dirty jokes. If you're in the office now and your colleagues are gisting and you are salping, saying a little prayer, just, you know, setting the pace for the nobody. Chances are you will not be distracted with those kind of things. You protect yourself from that negativity. Remember, the fortress. It's not only from demonic attacks. It protects you from everything negative. Everything negative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says pray without ceasing. There are two things that fall under this category physically. There are two things that if you stop doing them, you'd unalive yourself. Let's use Instagram language. You unalive yourself. And that's breathing and the beating of your heart. Breathing and the beating of your heart. They are connected. So what is breathing? Let me try and break it down a bit. So when you breathe, that's how you take in oxygen, right, into your lungs. Then the beating of your heart, you know, pumps that oxygen-rich blood to the different organs of your body that needs it, to the different tissues. So once that thing stops, that's why you see if paramedics come to an accident scene, what they want to check for? The pulse. Because that pulse is you know, your heart pumping blood through your arteries. So once they can't sense that thing, Otilo, like Brother Joshua said. Now, Apostle Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 that the church should pray without ceasing. So now I want us to look at it together, side by side with breathing and the heartbeat. So just the same way your heartbeat never ceases, and your breathing never ceases. Your prayer life should never cease. It should never stop. Just the way if the paramedics cannot get the pulse, they declare that person dead. When a person's prayer life stops too. Even when a person is critically ill, and maybe they put them in the ICU in the hospital, intensive care unit, one thing they continue to monitor, you see that they even give them oxygen, right? And then they monitor their pulse, right? Okay, is the heart pumping oxygen-rich blood? Because that's what the tissues, the organs need. That's why you see sometimes when they pronounce some people dead, you say their organs have been oxygen deprived. People who drown, it's not that the water is killing them. They're not getting enough oxygen to their brain. So that's why you see, if a paramedic comes to a place where you have a victim that has drowned, they ask how many minutes were they under? Because there's a certain level of, certain duration of minutes that the brain should not be without oxygen. Remember, we're looking at this to narrow it back to our prayer life. Hallelujah. Even in surgeries, there's no way you go for surgery, like a major procedure, that they wouldn't tell you pay for oxygen. Because that is one of the things that are important to keep that person alive, even when you put the person under. Hallelujah. So all these things is to ensure that the person stays alive. The monitoring of the pulse, the using of the defibrillator, that thing that they use to jerk them back to life, is to make sure that their heart beats and pumps blood, that they get oxygen. Oxygen flows to their organs. See how they follow it with precision, with carefulness. How much your prayer life? So you can keep your prayer life. If human beings can do these things to bring back somebody that is dead, or monitor it to keep somebody alive, that means even with your prayer life too, you can monitor it, you can pay attention to it to ensure at every point in time that fortress is standing. Irrespective of what is happening, the fortress is standing. Hallelujah. Are we together? And just the way these hospital people, you know, they have different strategies and everything. We also have strategies that we can adopt to ensure that we are always praying. To ensure that we are always praying. To ensure that we are always praying. So now we're going to be looking at how to build a solid prayer life. How to build a solid prayer life, or you can say hacks to building a solid prayer life, to building a prayer life. Even the title of today's service, you can also pass as that, hacks to building a solid prayer life. So the first point we have here is, and when I say this, I want us to shout glory, because God has given us this gift and is glaring. Hallelujah. Attend a praying church and keep a praying company. If you're grateful for the gift of New Breed Christian Community, shout glory! Hallelujah. Attend a praying church and keep a praying company. Some of us here can testify that there are times where you're not as energetic as you want to be. Where maybe you're just dragging, and then you come to church, and then the choir steps up, they are singing. The person leading opening prayers charges you up. Pastor comes up, the ministers come up, pardon me. They start singing, they start praying. Let's be sincere. You'll be stirred up. There's just something he does. Your spirit man, that dryness, it will just be like he just lifts up. And then you just connect. So it is practical. We've experienced it. So it's not far-fetched. It is the reality of it. Do you want to, how do you build a prayer life? Maybe you are here, you've been struggling. Every time you come to church here, you know, we keep encouraging you, read your Bible, pray. But you tried. You are in the right place. Hallelujah. So when you keep company with people who emphasize devotional fervor and a devotional culture, it impacts your overall devotional life, of which your prayer life is part of. I'll take that again. When you keep company with people who emphasize devotional fervor and a devotional culture, it impacts your overall devotional life, of which your prayer life is part of. Have there been times where you find yourself in, let me use this analogy. Maybe now you find yourself in an apartment or hostel, and maybe your roommates, all of them, they like watching Korean movies. Me, I can relate, because I've experienced it firsthand, and they like watching. And me, I have made up my mind, this thing, I can never like it, because it just does not align with me. But there's how, no offense to people that watch Korean movies, everybody has their preferences, right? I respect you people. So, and then I'm like, I'm not going to watch, like, why are you watching this? Like, you know, why? Well, and the storyline is always the same thing. It's like love. Every years, the girl will hit the guy, the book will fall, they will not have eye contacts, rise up, you get. But there have been times where, during my IT, then when I was still in university, my friends then, so some of my schoolmates, my classmates were in the same institution for our IT, so, and it was a government institution, so there were usually times where we didn't have anything doing. So you see my friends on their phones, Korean movie. Do you know that me that had proposed in my heart that I was not going to watch Korean movie? I'm like, well, what's the storyline about? Yeah, tell me. I started watching, but I never finished it, because I mean, I didn't have the interest. I'm just trying to show you the power of company, the power of association. You may say, oh, I don't like this thing, I will never do this, I will never do that. If you find yourself in the company of people who do that consistently, you'll find yourself doing it. So now let's look at the positive side of it. We want to build our prayer life. Surround yourself with people that are praying. We already have a church that has built a corporate structure for prayers. We pray in the morning, Mondays to Saturday, by 6 a.m. to 6:30, or sometimes 7. When we have special morning prayers. In the evening, betting the new move, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Those are structures that will help you build a prayer life. They will help you. And I'm telling you that it may not be easy, but in the end, it will be worth it. It's a worthy investment. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Samuel 10, from verse 10 to 11. 1 Samuel 10, from verse 10 to 11. This is the story of Paul, of Saul. Pardon me. Story of Saul. Okay. So, prior to this, you know, the prophet Samuel had spoken to Saul, and you know, and he had prophesied that he was going to meet some prophets, and when he's with them, he will prophesy. Before this, Saul had never prophesied. Hallelujah. But you know, Samuel told him that the Spirit of God will come upon him, and then he will meet some prophets and he will prophesy. So let's read. So he says, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. So these were the prophets that Samuel told him he will meet. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Then verse 11 says, and it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? This was somebody that had never prophesied before. But then he came to the company of prophets and he prophesied. Last week, there were some people that came to service last week that had not prayed in tongues before. But as our lead steward, you know, stirred us up, oh yeah, begin to pray in tongues, begin to pray in tongues, told them, connect your hearts and everything. Day to day, plug in, and then there were people that started praying in tongues too in that service. These are the benefits that we have as Christians. So God has not called you to live a life of solitude. You have support to build this structure. There's something I love about church. You can always walk up to somebody that you see that, this person seems very strong. Even the person does not feel strong, walk up to them. Can we be praying together? That's better than maybe ganging up against another church member, which we don't do here. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. But you can just meet somebody. We can be praying every Wednesday. It may just be 30 minutes and you're consistent. And you're consistent. You see, the power of consistency, before you know it, it's called compounding. You would see that there's no restructure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the first point we looked at? And so let's say it again. Attend a praying church. Hallelujah. So please join devotions. We pray every morning, 6 a.m. You can set your alarm for 5:50. You will notice that when you start doing it consistently like that, eventually your body will adapt to it. There's a research that showed that if you can do something consistently for 21 days, you adapt to it. So just try. 5:50 every morning. You're up. Once it's 6, you connect. You pray in the evenings too. By 11 p.m., you connect. It's worth it because our prayer life is important. And by the grace of God, we will not have to encounter the issues that come with not having a prayer life before we accept that it's important in Jesus' name. We would prepare. We will not now be looking for ways to treat it, but we will prevent it in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the second, another scripture I wanted to point out there is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. He says, iron sharpeneth iron. So does a man, the countenance of his friend. So he says here, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So make sure at every point in time that you are in the company of people that are on fire for the Lord. People that Jesus is at the center of their hearts. And you will see yourself grow. Hallelujah. So let's look at the second point. Let me rush. Rule over your emotions. This one, we can relate to it, I believe. Rule over your emotions. So the first one is attend a praying church and keep a praying company. So this, we're looking at hacks to building a prayer life. So the next one is rule over your emotions. I believe a lot of us relate to this. Many of us expect to feel like praying before we pray. You will stay there for long. Yoruba people will say, wakpembe. If you're waiting to feel like praying before praying, pastor will say, it's first mechanical. Even when you don't feel like it, you will stand up and pray. Just merely holding on the fact that the Bible has said, pray without ceasing. Because Jesus has said, men ought to always pray and not faint. So you hold on to that irrespective of how you are feeling. Because if you want to stay by how you are feeling, chances are you will not pray. If you only pray when you feel like praying, you don't have a prayer life. You don't have a fortress. Because our feelings are tied to the flesh, right? How does devil get through us? It's through the flesh. So if you're waiting for your feelings, devil already knows how to put you in a happy mood, you know, distracted. Your spirit man is distracted and everything. So you won't pray. So you have to put rule over your emotions. You have to control your emotions. You have to subdue them and not subject your prayer life to your emotions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With prayer, you are more likely to act yourself into feeling than to feel yourself into acting. We are more likely to act yourself into feeling. So you are more likely to start praying till you not feel like praying than feel like praying before you pray. There's sometimes during stretch prayers, it happens sometimes where you come for stretch prayers, it seems like a drag. You are starting, then before you know it, you are stirred, and it's almost like when Pastor Nana says in Jesus' name, amen, you still see some people. Ah, shakaba. They are still feeling it. Hallelujah. So prayer is a spiritual activity. So you cannot depend on the flesh or the physical to stir you to pray. How many of us can relate to what I'm saying? We can relate, Shay, okay? I'm in the right congregation. But now God is telling us, rule over your emotions. We see Jesus when he was being prepared to go to be crucified. He was overwhelmed. A lot was ahead of him. But how did Jesus handle it? He prayed, even in that agony. Some of us, if we experience heartbreaks, we want to watch emotional movies that would still break down the heart more, or lick ice cream, or listen to Chike songs. Which shouldn't be the case. I'm just trying to just let us know that life is a battle. It's not always going to be about how you feel. As a mother, there may be days where you are overwhelmed. But then you need to pray. And with that overwhelming feeling, you come unto God like that. And you pray. You'll not say, oh, let me wait till I feel better. Let me wait till this. No. Because life in itself, it has its overwhelming part. But then in Jesus, we are safe. We are secure. We are made stronger. The Bible says, I think it's in Luke translation, that after Jesus prayed, he was strengthened by angels. We've seen it before, right? He was strengthened by angels. So make up your mind that in this service, irrespective of how I feel, I will not live my prayer life subject to my emotions. That's not what matters. Hallelujah. As human beings, we naturally experience and respond to the world through our senses and physical desires. So that same feeling that you're using to respond to the world, you cannot judge it, because the body, the flesh, always wants what the world wants. Hallelujah. And prayer, you may start now, and it may seem like a struggle. It may seem like you are not feeling it. You don't want to do it. But it is in that same place of prayer that you pray your spirit man to gain ascendancy over the flesh. Then you will not see that. You will be stirred up to pray more often. But if you are waiting for that feeling to come, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. We're looking at verse 2 to 4. So as believers, we don't wait for a feeling, because it may never come. If you're waiting to feel like praying, it may never come. And like I mentioned, if you pray only when you feel like praying, you don't have a prayer life. And remember, a prayer life is important for believers. That's our fortress. And that's what we're looking at. Building that prayer fortress. Building that prayer life. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2 to 4. So it says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Verse 3 says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now verse 4 is my emphasis. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you're always waiting for everything to be fine, waiting to feel like praying, now bringing it into this context, you're always waiting to feel like praying, you will not make any progress in your prayer life. Like the man that is waiting for the winds to blow or the clouds to be filled or to form. So get up, make up your mind. I will build my prayer life irrespective of how I feel. Say, I will build my prayer life. I will not leave it subject to emotions and feelings. Glory! Hallelujah. So still on that scripture, verse 4. It says our emotions can be likened to the wind here. So it says, he that observeth the wind, so he that observes his feelings, his emotions, shall not pray. If you're waiting to feel like it, I know it may seem like I'm emphasizing it too much, but when you go home, when you wake up tomorrow, and then you wake up and you're like, I don't feel like praying. You say, no, I don't feel like praying, but I will pray. Because I ought to pray always. I will pray. Some of us will pray to God that, oh God, please wake me up by 3. When I say some of us, I'm talking about myself. But thank God for growth. Then I'll say, Holy Spirit, please wake me up by 3. So that I can pray. Consistently, I wake up by 3. Then I'll go back to sleep. Because when I wake up, I'm not feeling it. Papa Hagin said something that when you pray to God to wake you at a certain time to pray, you standing up to pray is faith in the fact that God can strengthen you to pray. God will not come up and carry you and say, we have woken you up now. Let me lift you. Mm-mm. You've already prayed, oh God, wake me up by 3 a.m. to pray. So you standing up, that's faith in the fact that God will even strengthen me to pray. Now, even as I've stood up, as I've woken up. Dear believer, you can pray, or you can have a vibrant prayer life. If you apply these hacks, it's not beyond you. If God has said it in his word, that means he's able to make you do it by his spirit. Hallelujah. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Because if you want to dwell on your feelings, like I said, feelings are like the wind. Today you can feel this way. Tomorrow you can feel another way. You cannot really judge. You cannot hold on to your feeling. Today I may like fried rice. Tomorrow I can say, you hear people say, I'm not feeling up to it. So it's very fickle. You cannot really make solid decisions by dwelling on your feelings. Let's look at Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Remember, fortress. Do we get it? So if you don't have any rule over your emotions, you are vulnerable to the enemy. Very vulnerable. Let's look at Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. Still on this point. Rule over your emotions. Rule over your emotions. I'm beginning to rush through now, even as we conclude. Rule over your emotions. Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. Okay, thank you, media. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities. You know, if you look at different translations of this scripture, you know, it points at idols, you know, false gods and everything. But then even your feelings too. There's how you can prioritize your emotions that you are controlled by them. You begin to treat them like a god. Your life is now ordered by your emotions. That's what you are being led by. Hallelujah. Your feelings can be misleading. There have been times where you feel like you are hungry. Then you prepare food. And then you cannot eat it. You're like, oh, I guess I was not hungry. Maybe I was just thirsty. So don't leave your prayer life, your study life, to the mercy of your feelings. Rule over your emotions. Someone say, rule over your emotions. Rule over your emotions. Hallelujah. Now, the third one is, have a structure and keep the structure. Have a structure and keep the structure. Thank you, Jesus. So the first one is attend a praying church and keep a praying company. Second one is rule over your emotions. Rule over your emotions. And the third one is have a structure and keep the structure. This third point is more or less like the ultimate key. You must have a structured time for personal prayer and a structured time for corporate prayer. Remember what I said about how if you have done something for 21 days, chances are you can continue doing that thing. You will become a master in that thing. You have formed a habit out of that thing. So that applies here too. You can build a structure. Me personally, the time I know that reading my Bible and praying works best for me is early in the morning. The best hours for me, anything from 3, 4, 5. Because I have experienced it. Once it's 7, your time is now subject to other people. That's something that me, I adopt as a person. Obviously, there are times maybe I'm not able to meet up, maybe because I have to leave the house early or I just didn't wake up. But whatever works for you, if you're not even sure, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, when is the best time for me to say? Remember, you're not looking for the easiest time or the time that you feel like is easy. You're looking at for that best time that you know that you will keep to it. Could it be after I come back from work? Eat, take my bath, settle down with the Bible. It may not work for some people because they get home and they are tired. But then remember that your prayer life is priority. You will need to make sacrifices. Whether it's early in the morning or late in the night. See it as important. The Bible will say that Jesus would wake up early in the morning to go and pray. And then, all through the day, he's teaching. He's going here and there with his disciples. He's ministering. He's healing the sick. Even Jesus had structure. How much more you? Jesus is our standard. So if Jesus had a structure to his, it's not like he just woke up and, Peter, I feel like praying now. Let me pray. The Bible will say, and he arose and went into the mountains to pray. Okay. Thank you, media. So see, Mark chapter 1:35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. And generally, people are encouraged to do their devotions in the morning because you have lesser disturbance in the morning. So you have to build up yourself. It won't be easy, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Glory! So thank God for our church, like I mentioned. We pray twice, 6 a.m. to 6:30 or 7 a.m. and then 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. That represents corporate prayers. Remember, you're building a structure for personal prayer and corporate prayers. Both of them are important. Both of them are important. It's not just, praying by yourself. Praying by yourself is of uttermost importance, but also corporate prayer is also important. Also important. Hallelujah. Even if it's 30 minutes, if you can pray every day for the next 21 days for 15 minutes every day, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, you would see that it becomes easier for you as you make progress. And then your spirit man is gaining stature. You're building your fortress. You're stronger. You already know what to pray ahead of. You already know what to do. You already have direction. Even when the enemy comes while you are asleep, nothing can happen because your fortress is strong. Hallelujah. Even before the enemy wants to do anything, your Holy Spirit has already nudged you. Oh yeah, Joshua, stand up. Start praying. Oh yeah, worship. Your spirit man is alive. So you can even pick directions from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Bible says, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they had an hour of prayer. Jesus too, you see, he went up at a particular time. They had an hour of prayer. Structure is very important. If you live your prayer life, so you know I spoke about feelings, right? If you also live, so this structure is also an easy way to overcome feelings. Because if you have said every day by 12 p.m., I'm going to pray for 15 minutes, whether you're feeling like it or not, you will keep to that structure already guides you. So they are all connected. Structure, don't leave your prayer life to chance. Some of us in relationships, we have timetables, we have alarms. By 2 p.m., check on Doris. By 4, ask her if she has eaten. By 5:30, ask her if she has left the office. How much more your prayer life? Dear brother, create structure. Create structure. Create structure. Build structure. Do you have an hour of prayer? Pardon me. Do you have an hour of prayer? Do you have an hour of prayer? I want you to examine yourselves. I want us to examine ourselves even as we hear these words this morning. What will we do better? What will we stop? You know that moment of the night that you're always awake? Use it to build something in the spirit. Build structure. Hallelujah. Another challenge that people have is that they can create structure, but they don't know how to keep it. So now, beginning of August, it's a new month. The arch this month, I'm going to pray by 8 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by 8:15. And then by August 5th, the structure has scattered. There was a structure. But this is what I have to tell you. Dig again. Go again. I promise you, if you continue, eventually it would flow. So you may try, it may seem hard, it may seem tough. Don't you shake off the dust, you go again, 8 a.m. Continue with that 8 a.m. till it now becomes your practice. Some of us, we grew up in homes that every morning by 5 a.m., your parents are knocking on your door. Time for morning devotion. Our parents were not robots. They are human beings like us. They just built that structure and it stayed. Hallelujah. And I just want to bring back the point of keep a praying company. So you can always have friends that you can tell them, Joshua, please wake me up by 5:30 a.m. So my friends know that I'm usually awake from maybe 2 a.m. downwards. So you see them, Chema, if you're still awake by 5:30, wake me up. I want to pray. That you have support. Make good use of it. You can have people that can help you build that structure. Nobody says you have to do it alone. Even Jesus did not do it alone. Jesus had his disciples that supported his ministry while he was here on earth. Even in that garden when Jesus was praying, him going to wake Peter then, was him supporting them too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your devotional life doesn't have a predictable structure, you are not growing. Because predictability is proof of growth. If you have a baby, babies are full of wonders. Particularly for nursing mothers or women that are trying to wean their children. You see today, I gave her sweet potato, she ate. Tomorrow, if you give them that same sweet potato, the baby will not eat it. You now have to start again. Okay, let me try swallow fufu. And she ate fufu and okra. You now go and buy one sack of fufu and okra. You cook it for that baby. The baby will not eat it. So you can't predict babies because they are babies. Today they are here. Tomorrow they are there. But then by the time that child is going from 3, 4, 5, you already know, it's good morning conflicts she likes. Why? She's growing. So you can predict that. Oh, if you give her good morning conflict, she's going to auntie's house. Don't worry, give her good morning conflict, she'll eat it. So when we can predict you, it shows that you are growing. If I want to call Brother Joshua now and I say, let me not call him by 9. He's usually praying by 9. That's how we should be. It's not, I don't even know where he'll be by 9. I can call him and he'll say he's watching wrestling or something. Brother Joshua, sorry. He just comes here directly in front of me. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to rearrange your personal schedule for when you pray, when you read your Bible, when you listen to sermons. When you pray, when you read your Bible, when you listen to sermons. For me to get my Bible study, I'll start with 30 minutes of prayer and 30 minutes of prayer after. Or sometimes 15 minutes, then I'll read my Bible for about an hour. You can do that. Just start and start building, but make sure there's a structure. It is too important. Don't leave it to chance. Remember, building a fortress is intentional. It's not by chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at other hacks. So we've looked at attending a praying church and keeping a praying company. We've looked at ruling over your emotions. And we've looked at having a structure and keeping the structure. So now another thing is learn to sing. Glory book, shout glory! Learn to sing. Avoid songs that dampen your spirit, man. There's a particular song by one of the people that Pastor always references. That talks about, oh, it's lonely at the top. I'll do it. I don't care what anybody thinks in particular. You know. And then the Bible is emphasizing that God has called you into a family. Whether you are listening to Lonely Adito. That's not the best example, but usually you cannot want to build a solid prayer life and then you're listening to the, because worldly musics, what they promote are emotions, feelings. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'll do what I want to do. Is that what the Bible says? Jesus said you should say what you want to say. So when I say learn to sing spirit-filled songs. Maybe you wake up and you cannot pray. Spirit, pray. From this earthen vessel. Even if you're not feeling it. Even if you are weak. Even if whatever is happening is happening. Learn to sing. It opens the channels of your spirit to the spirit. There are times where you feel dry, disconnected from God. It's not true. It is a lie. Because everyone that has believed in God is born of God, belongs to God, has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. So yes, even sometimes, let me also touch on this. You may feel discouraged. Maybe you missed your prayer time. The voice of self-condemnation is never the voice of God. It's never the voice of God. Don't feel, this thing is not working. I've tried. It's not for everybody. Let me just be coming to church. This praying personally, reading my Bible, it's not for everybody. It's a lie. You can do all things. He didn't say some things. All things. Through Christ that strengthens you. You stand up. I'm a winner, not a loser. I refuse to be used. I am what God says I am. I decree this is my time. There's no stopping me. There's no blocking me. I've got victory over the enemy. I am what God says I am. I decree this is my time. Hallelujah. You can see the song that the choir raised, that Pastor Faith also took up. Jesus, yeah, you may wake up. And then the devil will remind you that you've been praying since January. You've been building your prayer life. Nothing is happening. Everything still seems as it is. Mm-mm. What was impossible? God made it possible. The Bible says that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. He was giving glory to God. So I'm just saying all these things to let you know that you're not alone. There will be times where you wake up, you feel dry. It just seems like everything is the same. Nothing seems to be making progress. You sing. Before you know it, your spirit man is energized. And you begin to pray. You begin to sing. You begin to make declarations. Hallelujah. We see it in the Bible. Was it not David that used to come and play harp for Saul to drive away the evil spirit? So when you are down, sing. Take that song. Sing. Hallelujah. So instead of wallowing in the feeling of dryness, sing. Take a song that touches your soul and continue to sing. That's how the believers do. That's our way. Say, that's our way.
That's our way.
Glory!
Glory!
Hallelujah. The next one is read the Bible a lot. Read the Bible a lot. If you give yourself to read the Bible, it would set your spirit on fire and it will cause you to pray. Let's look at Proverbs 26, verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Thank you. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife sees it. So now, please just leave the scripture there. So let's look at it together. So where there is no gossip, right, or someone who goes around telling, sharing wrong words about people, strife or division would cease, right? Hallelujah. So that means when there is gossip and cho-cho-cho, strife abounds, right? And here it's almost setting strife as fire, right? So if there is plenty gossip, you know, there will be plenty strife. So now, next switch. So where there is no word of God, your fire or your prayer altar may be weak, but where you have the word of God, that's like wood to your prayer life. Have you seen sometimes where you are weak, you are tired, then you begin to declare, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am strong, I am not weak. I will be strong in the Lord. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will sustain me. He will keep me. Before you know it, you're already stirred up, declaring the word of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot be small. I am the head, I'm not the tail. Things work out for my good, because the Bible says that God caused all things to work out for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That's the word of God. So sometimes you take the scripture like this, you can go to the epistles, begin to see the identity of the new man in Christ Jesus, and begin to think, he causes me to triumph consistently in Christ Jesus. I cannot lose. I cannot be stranded. Hallelujah. So do you feel stirred up now? That's what the word of God does. That's what the word of God does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then let's look at the next one. That's six. We have one point after this. Identify your biggest distractions and put them away. Don't start next week. Start today. Think of, just look at, is it Instagram? Is it, delete it. It's not as important as you think. It's not important at the expense of your prayer life. Delete it. When your spirit man is strong and you are sure that, oh, you have built discipline, and you know that if you go there, it's just to look at good content, post good content if you're a content creator, support the ministry page, you know, reshare, engage the church page, and then you leave. Don't be the person that you would be on Instagram from 8 p.m. till 12. When I say pray after you get back from work, you're saying, ah, it's not easy. But you will not sleep immediately. You'll be pressing your phone. Do away with the distractions. They are not important. At the end of it all, they won't matter. And always know that the children of darkness are doing more to ensure that the children of light are away from truth, are away from things that build them up. So maybe if you have that at the back of your mind, you be careful with social media. You'll be careful with movies. You'll be careful with pleasure. Because in the end, the purpose is to derail you from God. So you have to know how to manage those things so that they are not distractions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I said, identify your biggest distractions and put them away. And the last point here is, learn to stretch yourself in prayer. Hallelujah. Learn to stretch yourself in prayer. Remember, I said, the more you do something, the better you become at it. You may start and it may be hard, it may seem tough, but eventually, if women or men that cook, when you want to try out a new recipe, you may try it the first time. You may not get the measurements, or something may be off. If you try it again, chances are by the time you try it repeatedly, by the fifth time, you will see that, oh, I've got it. Oh, so don't put too much water at this point. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. So that's how it is too. The things of the physical can be applied to the spiritual. So stretch yourself. There'll be days where you're tired like this. You are praying. Where you're tired, say, no, I'll continue. I will pray. Talk to yourself, because my future depends on it. I will pray, because God said, man, not to pray and not to faint. You pray, you plug in your ears, pray, stretch yourself, you thank yourself for it. Hallelujah. If you've been praying for 30 minutes, stretch yourself to 1 hour. If you've been praying for 15 minutes, stretch yourself to 30 minutes. Little by little, you'll get better. This is what matters. This is what will matter in the end. Take your spiritual life, take your prayer life seriously. We have August, September, October, November, December. You have enough time to make a difference in your spiritual life. I know you may feel like, oh, I started in January, I couldn't. I started in March, I couldn't. Start again. Dig again. Go again. Build that fortress. Build it. Build it. Contend for your prayer life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at the last scripture for this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. So I want us to read together. Are we there? And let's go. 1, 2, go.
But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
Can you see it? Exercise thyself. There's nowhere in this world where exercise is easy. The 2 months ago in the house, I said, okay, even if I cannot go to the gym, and I cannot, because my mom goes on walks in the morning, early in the morning, like around 6, I told her, oh, come and be waking me. I've never followed her for once. And I said, okay, even if I cannot go out, let me walk out in the house, even if it's 10 minutes a day. By the third day, my body was in pains. I was literally moving like an old person to sit down because of the pain. And it wasn't like I was doing anything serious so at home. So exercise is never pleasurable. It becomes pleasurable with time. Right? So with your prayer life and everything, don't look for pleasure. Just keep stretching yourself. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. Refuse to be small. Refuse to be among the others that are not hot. Refuse to be among people that are not getting it right. Refuse to be among the weak. Be among the ones that are hot. Be among the ones that defy all odds to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone shout glory.
Glory.
If you've been blessed thus far with gratitude in your heart, I want you to shout glory.
Glory.
Shout glory.
Glory.
Now, let's go over all the points that we looked at today. So, what's point number one? Okay. What's number two? Will you do that? What's number three? Will you do that? What's number four? Will you sing? What's number five? Thank you. So let's take number five again. Don't worry. But Joshua wants to identify those distractions. That's why. Yeah, what's number six? And what's number seven? So do you want to stretch yourself a little bit this morning? Oh, jump on your feet right now and lift up your voice and thank God for this word that you have received. Remember, it's not in your feeling. Just set your heart on God, because you know that He can hear you. And begin to pray right now. And in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to build a solid prayer life. Oh, beginning from today, the 26th of July, 2026, I receive grace to build a solid prayer life. Oh, shakapandekete, lepo sambalate.